Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. What do cephalopods, cavemen, and ancient Egyptians have in common? They all used ink, that amazing substance that predates both the written word and humans themselves. But what is it, and where does it come from? A stunningly beautiful documentary called The Color of Ink delves deeply into its history and usage and explores it as an artistic medium in contemporary times. It follows artist, designer, and illustrator Jason Logan, a Toronto-based ink maker who concocts new colors from an astonishing variety of materials, many of which he forages in nature and creates in his own home. The film traces those bottles of ink as they travel around the world from Brooklyn to Tokyo to Mexico, as other artists incorporate them in their own work. The Color of Ink is written and directed by renowned Toronto movie critic, writer, and filmmaker Brian D. Johnson. I last spoke with Brian at this station in 2015 about his previous documentary, Al Purdy Was Here. The Color of Ink is now playing in theaters across Canada, including the Hot Dog Cinema in Toronto. And there's a free live Foraged Ink event featuring Jason today, March 25th, at the Center for Social Innovation on Bathurst Street. And I'm very pleased to have both director Brian Johnson and subject Jason Logan here with me to tell us more about The Color of Ink. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Daniel. Thanks for having me on.
And hi, Brian.
Hi, Daniel.
Thanks so much for coming in. So I'm going to start with Jason. Jason, as an artist in an increasingly digital world, what attracts you to such a physical and elemental substance as ink?
That's a big question. I edit the question just slightly to say that I think of myself more as an ink maker than an artist per se. For me, the materials themselves really do the speaking and the art. I don't know. I'm trying to think of how to best answer your question.
What is it that attracts you to the ink? Why do you love ink so much?
Well, I think my first love with ink was as an illustrator. I love that it makes a kind of nice sharp line, that it's something we communicate with, that you can make letter forms. And then at the same time, you know, you add a little water and it's got this sort of amazingly washy poetic character. So I guess, again, it's in that place between communication and art that I find so exciting.
Jason, full disclosure, I have a personal attachment to ink. When I was a little kid, I was fascinated by it, and I used it in calligraphy and art. And I'm not sure where the idea came from, but I used to take old tea bags and run them over white paper to make it look more real or old or natural, something like that. And many of your inks are also made from unusually foraged materials. So can you explain what is foraged ink and how does it work? How do you make it and how does it work?
Well, when I started the Toronto Ink Company and sort of started my career as an ink maker, I gave myself the constraint that I would make ink from things that I could find at my feet. Or in the case of the black walnut tree, things that were, you know, literally falling from the sky. So I had that constraint to start with. The way that you make ink from natural materials really is about looking at what's going on at your feet and starting to kind of play. In some cases it's grinding, some cases it's boiling things up, sometimes it's adding two substances together. Your mention of the tea bag, I immediately think of the tannins that are in tea, which are responsible for making that kind of antique effect on paper. And tannins are a great ingredient for ink making. If you add them to other substances, they really do some amazing alchemy.
I love what you do with ink, and it's an amazing substance, but one thing I never hear you mention is its negative aspects. Ink, its messiness. It spills, it stains, it splatters, it sprays, it drips, it smears. So how do you handle the messiness of ink?
I kind of love the messiness of ink. Like, I think that it's unpredictable quality, the fact that you never know quite what the color is going to be, the fact that it kind of spreads across the page and does its own thing. You know, that part of the messiness I love. The, you know, you'd have to talk to my wife and kids about the messy version in terms of like ink on, you know, couches and pillows and stuff like that. Yeah, I think mostly I embrace the mess and really love the surprises that come out of that mess. It is very often indelible. So there's, you know, I've come to know some of the products that you can use to scrub ink out of things.
You call ink a living substance. What do you mean by that? How can ink be alive?
Well, you know, if you're an artist or a calligrapher, in general, you know, you're getting your ink from an art supply store, or you're going to a stationery store, or maybe a specialty pen store, and that ink is, you know, it's permanent, it's rich, it works great in a pen, but it's all about being sort of stable and archival. Most of the ink that I make is, because it's from natural sources, it actually is alive, it's changing. It does a lot of the things that, you know, the real pen nerds disdain, like in terms of it breaks up into little bits, or it crystallizes, or it the color can even shift over time. And to me, that living quality of ink is what makes ink itself, you know, a kind of protagonist, or almost the artist of the film that Brian's made.
Fascinating. I'm now going to switch over to Brian, who directed The Color of Ink. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Daniel.
So what's your connection? What's your connection to ink, and how did you find out about Jason as an ink maker?
Well, I knew Jason before he was an ink maker, when he was basically in charge of the graphic design, the art direction of Maclean's magazine, where I worked for decades. He didn't. I'm older. I'm quite a bit older. So he started later than I did. But when we both left Maclean's at different times, and he went down the rabbit hole of ink making, getting out of the glass boxes of corporate life for a break. And I kind of went down the rabbit hole of do-it-yourself filmmaking, like I don't know how many people turned on by, you know, iMovie and editing programs and things like that, that anybody could play with images. And having watched images as a film critic all my life, it was a great kick to play with them, though I had no ambitions to become a filmmaker. But I did go deeper down that rabbit hole, and as you mentioned, I made Al Purdy was here. And funnily enough, it was in shooting Al Purdy that Jason and I crossed paths again, when Margaret Atwood told me that the statue of Al Purdy in Queen's Park had a Twitter feed. And that was news to me. It had been going on for quite a while. She said, "We don't know who it is, but, you know, the whoever it is tweets from the point of view of the statue every few days." And then it was actually the same day that I ran into Jason at the Griffin Poetry Prize gala, and he said he wanted me to introduce him to Margaret Atwood, because he had something to give her, and kind of blurted out that he was the voice of the statue of Al Purdy Twitter feed. Well, that sort of weird bit of happenstance sort of led to Jason's tweets becoming these interstitial moments of zen from the POV of the statue in my Purdy film. And we kind of went overboard. We shot Jason collecting black walnuts, which was his sort of origin ink is the first real ink that he made, I believe, from the tree overlooking the statue. And we even shot him making ink in his kitchen studio. And all of it fell on the cutting room floor. And at a certain point, Jason wanted us to cut a reel for his Toronto Ink Company. And so I cut a reel and we did a bit more shooting. And I think it was when I saw one of Jason's ink tests, these sort of square foot, almost mandala-like swirling experiments of alchemical color. And, you know, this is when I sort of saw ink, the secret life of ink, if you like, for the first time. And immediately I wanted to see that on a theater screen. And, you know, I mean, that's the reason I wanted to make the movie. And then we went through all these hoops to actually turn it into something. I went to all the arts councils and stuff and tried to get funding. It took years, but eventually, you know, the National Film Board and Ron Mann, Sphinx Productions, great filmmaker in his own right, made it all possible. So, you know, here we are today. So I kind of fell in love with the ink, and Jason and I kind of both agreed that he mentioned protagonist, but the ink would kind of be the protagonist, the silent protagonist of the film, whereas Jason would be our guide as we sent his inks. He sent his inks around the world to these various artists, some of whom became part of our cast.
It doesn't come through on the radio because we're just voice, but I just want to say The Color of Ink is such an amazingly beautiful film with these intense blues and greens and yellows and blacks and reds. How did you capture these colors, including like the ink itself separating or spreading on paper? How did you photograph that? How did you do it?
Well, one word, Nick DePonsier.
That's two words.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, actually, Nicholas DePonsier, a bunch of syllables, two words. He's actually worked with me on all of my films. And it's been a great privilege to like even back when I was a total rank amateur, Nick would work with me. And Nick is one of the best cinematographers. Not just that, he's a filmmaker in his own right. He directed and produced the trilogy of films with Ed Burchinsky, with his partner Jennifer Bishwal, Anthropocene, Manufactured Landscapes, and Watermark. So having Nick on board was great. And Nick, kind of like the reason I got into sort of filmmaking, as it were, documentary filmmaking, is I wasn't so much interested in capturing reality, as I was kind of fascinated by how framing nature, in particular, through a lens, kind of transforms reality. And Nick is always interested in sort of drawing abstraction out of landscape, natural forms. And for me, the Color of Ink basically is a landscape movie that toggles between these wild landscapes where Jason forages ingredients for ink, whether it's Death Valley or, you know, underneath a rusted bridge in Manhattan or whatever, and the more microscopic landscapes of these ink tests where the ink seems to move and create itself with a mind of its own. So Nick really got into that. He for me, the most exciting, some of the most exciting times of making this film, even though I really enjoyed the road trips, were just watching that ink materialize on the page with Nick's lens.
There's that, and there's also even almost still photos, like there was a tattoo artist, and just the scene through the window, the scenery through the window was breathtaking. Just these moments
was
captured.
Yeah, that was a tattoo artist by the name of Rox, who has this incredible sort of airy up in the mountains, the hills above Malibu. And it's an extraordinary studio, and she's really kind of a rock star of American tattooists, or even internationally. Her work is exhibited in MoMA. Anyway, her place is all sort of glass and black, rectangular forms. And the studio is, the whole front side of the studio is like a CinemaScope window. So we were working with a drone photographer. So we managed to kind of basically approach her studio from the air, and then gliding across that window and discovering her inside it. It's like, the great thing about working with visual artists is very often their locations, their studios are kind of, you know, works of art in and of themselves. In other words, it was like happening upon a set. You know, you couldn't have designed a more beautiful set. Well, and I've got to say that Jason, being a graphic designer, he doesn't just throw his materials and his tools casually over the desk. I mean, there's a sense of design and, you know, care, a lot of love and reverence for the materials and the tools and so on that he's using. And I think that kind of, that love for the tactile, you know, palpable presence of the analog of material is something that isn't just about the ink. It's about everything. It's about the approach to nature, about the approach to work, about how you communicate with people. So that's, in a sense, even though the film is about a very narrow niche of ink, which is actually universal and saturates all of human civilization for thousands of years, it sort of goes beyond that in a way. It's kind of about the way we touch the world.
And that very much comes through in this beautiful film and the art within it. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you very much for shedding a little light on the color of ink, Daniel. Appreciate it.
I've been speaking with filmmaker Brian Johnson and artist and ink maker Jason Logan about the new documentary, The Color of Ink, now playing across Canada. This is Daniel Garber the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.